Julie?
Yeah.
Norma?
Yeah.
Luis?
Here.
Okay, that's everyone. That gives us a quorum.
Great, thank you. Okay, before we begin, we just had Belen to show Naeem and Carlos.
Oh, thank you. Naeem and Carlos arrived.
All right, what are my
Anyone,
yeah.
Both spaces.
All right. Before we begin, let me start with logistics and norms. In compliance with SB 126, members of the public are able to listen and provide public comment from any KIPP SoCal site. We currently have the meeting available across our KIPP SoCal community. For those watching at KIPP SoCal site, we do have interpreters on the line to provide Spanish-English translation. If you are at a site and need to listen to the meeting in a different language, check with your school site personnel to make this change. The interpretation settings can be accessed by clicking the globe icon in your Zoom menu. For audio purposes, we utilize roll call voting. After presentation of an item and any questions and discussion, I will ask for a motion and a second. Board members, when you are making a motion, please state your name for the record. If we have those motions, I'll turn it over to Belen to conduct the roll call vote. She will read each board member's name as we approach a voting item. Please make sure that you are prepared to respond with either yes, no, or abstain. And also as a reminder, for board meetings and members of the public, KIPP SoCal meetings are recorded and these recordings are posted for the public. So we have an overview of the agenda and I'll go ahead and turn it over to Angela.
Yeah, so we have a lot of items as usual, and our goal is to still adjourn by 4 o'clock. So our KIPP SoCal team members, so we have our senior leadership team members here today, Kavika, Joanna, Amber, Jen, Belen, and then Cecily is always here, and then Roxy, who makes sure that all of this goes off without a hitch, so thank you so much. And additionally, you'll hear from our team members later on today, Ivana, Dennis, Emily, who is our special guest presenter today, and Curtis, who you all know very well. And I will hand it back over for public comment.
Okay. Belen, do we have any members of the public who wish to provide comment for today, either in person or?
So currently at our meeting location, there are no members of the public. If there's anyone at our school site who would like to give public comment, please use the raise hand feature. I'm just giving a couple seconds. Okay, at this time we... no hands raised, so we do not have any members of the public for comment, so we can continue.
All right. Go ahead. Your turn.
No, we're on consent.
Consent. Okay, there we go. Going out to consent agenda. As a reminder, we do not discuss items on the consent agenda. If there are items on the consent agenda that require clarification, we can remove that item and discuss it prior to voting. As to the board, are there any agenda items for the board members who would like to remove from the consent agenda and discuss? I don't see any. Okay. Do we have a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented?
So moved.
Julie moves, second.
Second.
Heather, second. Helen?
Naeem?
Yes.
Carlos?
Yes.
Randy?
Yes.
Mel?
Yes.
Phil?
Yes.
Heather?
Yes.
Julie?
Yes.
Norma?
Yes.
Luis?
Yes.
Everyone.
Okay, motion passes to approve the consent agenda. Angela.
All right, so KIPP SoCal updates. So I'm going to start with the just Mathematica study that was all sent to you. Yeah, thank you, Randy, for the thumbs up. This study was convened to just show the impact of a KIPP education, a long-term impact, that, students who do attend KIPP have better college outcomes than those that otherwise don't attend KIPP. KIPP Academy of Opportunity and KIPP LA Prep were two of the schools, KIPP schools in the study. From the classes of our cohorts from 2009 and 2011, where I was a school leader at that time. So this is very exciting data. And also for some of the teachers, I mean, the students that were taught, Ms. Vogelsong, who you get to meet in a few minutes, was also their teacher, incredible science teacher. So just a good reminder that we're in this for the long haul, and it's a marathon, not a sprint. And what's exciting is that we just welcomed our first class of fifth grade students to Compton Upper School this year and thinking about their middle school experience starting off. And here is a cute fifth grader on the first day of school. And then it's also as a reminder that those cohorts of students in the study, they didn't have a KIPP elementary option at that time. And so in thinking about our cute now TKers that are in our building, we have a brand new TK program. Just exciting to see thinking about the long-term outcomes for the newest group of students. And if you see Lamar on the bottom with his bow tie, that's what he wore on the first day of school. And he is incredibly cute. It's so cute when you walk into a classroom because they're four. And so they're tiny. And when they hang up their backpacks, they're having to try and lift up a backpack. And they're so excited to be at school. You can see the beautiful smiles. But I can't wait for the next study to happen to really think about the long-term impact of, going through that full KIPP program. So I wanted to ground us and start it there. What's also exciting this year is we have one priority that we're calling all in on academics. It is a catchphrase that if you were to walk into any of our KIPP schools and you ask anybody who is in there, they will be able to say, what is the prior regional priority? And they will say all in on academics. We know that when we improve our academics, we want to do right by kids, but also create the political capital to withstand a hostile environment that that charters unfortunately have to operate in here in Southern California. So what this looks like, we have three focus areas. One is to creating the learning environments where all students can thrive, making sure that we have excellent instructional coaching and teaching happening, and then using data to drive instruction in service of student learning. Here's two examples of what that looks like at the beginning of the school year. So here's KIPP Vita. This is a kindergarten class. That is Amanda Tran, the school leader of KIPP Vita, and that's a kindergarten teacher sitting on the floor who's new to the school, and she's modeling for the teacher, how do you get the attention of the entire class, a 5-year-old, which is quite challenging. But part of this is we're all in, and instructional leaders are expected to real-time coach teachers in the moment, so not a minute goes by that students are not engaged in learning. And then, the affirming environment that we want for our students. Here's a Kipster at Endeavor who's, look at Joanna's taking a picture.
So cute.
I know. But, seeing them, affirm that they can be anything. And so looking in the mirror and this, a mathematician and scientist just thought this was a really great example of how we create an affirming environment with our students and our priority. Something that is new this year that make this really come to life is we have what we're calling the Regional Connect Initiative. This is to make sure that our academics priority lives throughout the entire organization, but also to continue to build regional identity and purpose through lots of touch points with our teammates throughout the year. So when we do this, we're able to consistently and compellingly communicate who we are, why we exist, how we're doing. Learning more about the teacher experience, our biggest stakeholder group in our schools, and connect more of our team regularly with me and with other senior leaders. And we're doing this through four different venues. What I want to highlight here is that we're having town halls and school visits this year at every single one of our schools. And what's different about this year is that we're doing two-day visits. So I actually am going to do my third one this week. So I'll be heading to Adelante tomorrow morning early. And during that time on Friday, I will interview stakeholder groups. So I'm meeting with the whole operations team, including the janitorial staff. I'm meeting with the expanded learning program. So that's all of our after-school programming staff. I'll meet with the leadership team, and I'll do classroom observations. So a collective lot of data and information. I'm looking for what's the priority, how is it living, where do I see alignment, misalignment maybe within the school teams. On Monday, I'll return. I'll continue my observations, and then I'll meet with the teacher stakeholder group and any other kind of stakeholder groups that I may have missed while I was there. And then I sit down and do a town hall where I'm with the entire team and I share back the observations and the feedback. What's fun about it is like I get to do the instructional piece and people see me as an educator because I love teaching in the classroom. So I'm in all the classrooms and I have a lot of feedback. And I get to hear and I get to share back what I'm hearing and what are the themes that not only make the school better, but also for us as a region. So I can't do all of the schools because there's just not enough Fridays and Mondays in like a school year to do that. So I have Kavika, Joanna, and Amber helping me out. And we'll have done 5 by, I think, early October. So very exciting. The other piece is top talent dinner. So every school selected 2 teachers to go to a dinner with me, and we're spreading them out through the year. This will be another time where I can spend quality time with teachers, just getting feedback, how's their experience in an informal setting, and just to hang out and have a good time. Because, like, you know, I'm kind of fun.
Is that with top teachers in the school or with cross-section of teachers?
We've asked school leaders to nominate teachers who, you know, are fully engaged in the school, and will be able to provide insightful feedback for us, you know. So we didn't say like the top, you know, performing teacher, but teachers who are highly engaged in our schools of all levels. We continue our all-team huddles. So I do all-team Zooms with all 1,500 team members. Where we communicate, you know, where we are in our goals and how things are going and share exciting events happening. So those continue. And then I will continue on with the teacher cabinet. So this is also a group of teachers that have been nominated and then selected to be my CEO cabinet. And we meet for, it's a 2-year term. So I just finished my first 2 years with the first cabinet. Nominations are in for the second cabinet, and I'll be continuing that. I'll pause for any questions on our Regional Connect initiative.
Did you think of them? Did you get them best practices?
Yeah, sometimes I wake up with some ideas, and then I talk to Joanna, who helps me bring them to life. But I wanted to make sure, you know, as a CAO, I was in classrooms constantly in schools, and so I wanted to continue that feeling and have a touch point and a pulse of what's happening in our schools more regularly. So Joanne and I thought, like, how could we really do this? I got some of these ideas from other charter leaders, but really it was a combination of just me and Joanna sitting down and figuring out what works for us. Something that I think is very unique and innovative is the fact that I spend 2 days and I do classroom observations, and I meet with all stakeholders, including like our hourly team members. I just want to hear from everyone, all the adults that are working with our children. What can we do to make sure that they feel supported and making sure our kids are getting what they need? It's fun. I have a lot of fun doing these. And so with that, I am so excited to thinking about our priority all in on academics is to have our special presentation today to be really about academics. And so I'm going to hand it over to Kavika, who's going to introduce a top talent, I think, in the state, in the country, actually, in science, is my opinion. I know it's embarrassing to you. But and she'll introduce Emily.
I would agree.
Great.
Top talent in the country. So as you all know, at each board meeting recently, we've been trying to highlight a different part of our programming and what really makes KIPSOCAL KIPSOCAL. And one of the things that we're really proud of is that we have a full K-8 science program. And that's unfortunately not every student in this country's reality. And not only do we have a science program, we think it's really engaging and really rigorous and really pushes critical thinking. So we wanted a chance for you to see some of that. So I'm really excited to introduce Emily Vogelsong, who's a member of my team on the teaching and learning team. Just for a little bit of background context, she joined KIPSOCAL almost 15 years ago now. Came into this already as an experienced science teacher, taught middle school science at 2 of our schools, both LA Prep and Innovation, before joining the SST academics team. Oh, this is your 5th year, I think, in the SST academics team. She also, some of you I know, have been judges in our Robotics League competitions. She founded that program. So for those of you who've gotten to see that, She's also one of our very early KIPSTAR winners many moons ago, and continues that excellence in now supporting our science teachers and our instructional leaders across all 23 of our schools. So, Emily, I'm going to hand it over to you.
Thank you so much for having me today. I hope we're all ready to do some science. Can I have that? Thank you so much. I am so excited to talk to you today. Science is a critical component of our K-8 education. And that is because science is critical thinking embodied. We may have gone to school, I went to school, where we learned a bunch of facts, right? You sat, the teacher lectured, maybe you got to do a lab. We don't teach science like that anymore. The world, that is not what the world means right now. Science is important for our kids because they learn about their bodies and they learn how to advocate for their bodies. And we only get one, right? We need to be advocates for our bodies. Kids collect evidence. They make meaning of that evidence. They argue from evidence. And I think we can all probably think of some times and spaces in the world where that's incredibly important, right? And science is about the choices we make as people, the choices and the way they impact the environment, the way they impact communities, the way they impact our climate and our future. So, I mean, that's everything, right? It's like overwhelming how much of everything it is. Kids' mindsets around science, according to research, are set by the end of third grade. Which means that by the end of third grade, kids have decided either that they're interested in science or they're not interested in science. And they decided they're capable of doing science or they're not capable of doing science. And we want, in the mission of Kids Leading Choice Field Lives, our kids to feel both capable and interested. Because in that context, science is economic opportunity. Science is representation on issues that matter, and science is power. So that's my soapbox. Thanks for climbing up with me for a second. So we take an approach to science that is phenomena-based, which means we look at the world around us and we say, why does that thing happen the way it happens? Because in real life, that's what scientists do. A scientist doesn't just wake up and is like, I think I want to know how mRNA works today. Nobody does that. A scientist wakes up and they say, hey, I'm noticing that in this community, there's this health outcome. And in this community, there's this health outcome. Why? And so our kids, as scientists, they look at phenomena in the world and they take an investigative approach, an evidence collecting approach to being able to explain those phenomena. And so today, you're going to get an opportunity to be students a little bit and to take this approach with us. Sound good?
Definitely.
Okay, cool. So we are going to start sort of in the middle, which means I'm going to give you a little bit of context that our kids already would have gotten, and then it's going to be your turn to be a student. And then we'll like step out of the student lens and answer the question if you're interested, and I think you will be. Because we can't learn an entire science unit in one afternoon. If you're going to also do other things. Yeah. Okay. Okay. So we are starting on an eighth grade unit on light waves. And this is the image that we start with. I'm going to do like I do when I teach, and I'm going to move around. The image is the focus. So this is a map of the rate of skin cancer per 100,000 people in the world. And this is real data. It's a little old at this point, but this is real data. So take a minute. And what do you notice? Please feel free to just call it out.
You must have a huge amount of skin cancer.
Thank you.
Won't be in Scandinavia either.
Okay.
Or Australia. Or Australia,
right? Australia.
Ozone hole.
Or Australia, right? That got like a whole group reaction because what is going on in Australia? That skin cancer rate is so high. So Why is there so much skin cancer in Australia? That's a phenomenon that we explore in this unit. So we're all adults. We know some things. Take a minute to think about why there might be so much skin cancer in Australia.
Well, first of all, these are the prosperous countries where doctors would most likely be diagnosing.
Mm, I love it. Okay. That is a great hypothesis. Thank you. Yes.
Well, there's that ozone hole over Australia, or has been. So, but also you have a bunch of fair-skinned people who came from a high incidence area and went to a sunnier area. And so probably they're not exactly well-suited for the climate.
Okay, thank you. We've got skin tone, migration, ozone layer, diagnosability,
population density,
anything else you want to throw into the mix?
A general attitude of not wanting to follow rules, which could apply to sunscreen.
I was going to say some cultural reason that Australia, which has large outside culture, I mean, if they're not using sunscreen.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much. You all did just as well as the eighth grader.
That's one that they don't usually get.
So our hypotheses for this for the group of eighth graders usually fall into, come on, please do the thing.
I think something was trying to move on.
Could you press that button for me? Yeah, I could press the button. Oh, perfect. Usually fall into three general groups, which is one, there's a lot of sun in Australia. Two, there's something different about the sunlight in Australia that somehow increases the amount of skin cancer. Or three, more people in Australia have skin that's easily damaged by light from the sun. Three big buckets. You've got some that are a little more complex. I like the sunscreen compliance thing. The diagnosability is definitely a layer. These are our three eighth grade buckets. So kids explore this in a bunch of different ways. So they first start by asking, well, how does light from the sun even cause skin cancer? How does it do that? And they know from their prior unit that energy is something that has the ability to make things move or change. And so they investigate, through a series of hands-on investigation, the relationship between light and energy. And they use liquid crystal paper, which is really awesome. You should all go Google it. I need a bunch of times in my life. They use solar-powered toys, and they use just your basic run-of-the-mill thermometers to come to the conclusion that light carries energy. And that energy causes materials to change. And then they dig a layer deeper and they say, well, okay, how does energy actually cause materials to change? What's really happening there? And they do more investigations. You're gonna hear me say the word investigation a lot, right? And they get in something called a simulation, which you should have on a computer in front of you. And if you happen to see a box pop up that says, this is gonna time out in a minute, please click the button.
If you're logged out, don't worry, we'll help you.
Yeah, we'll log back in. Got lots of logins. So they do this series of hands-on investigations. And simulations let you visualize things that you couldn't otherwise visualize. Science teachers love to put things on the top of tables for kids, but like, what do I do if it's really big, the sun, or really far, a star, or really small, an atom? Or really fast, or I need really precise measurements in a way that I can't get with a stopwatch, or I'm looking at something that I can't actually see, like the energy and light. We use simulation. And so it lets us investigate and have those processes, even though we can't do it on a tube. So they look and they notice that for materials, that the light in which the light is absorbed, changes are caused. For the particular plant, it absorbs the energy from the light, and it causes both photosynthesis and damage.
And they notice that in materials in which the light is not absorbed, notice that this piece of aluminum foil is not glowing, and the plant is glowing. That's going to be important when you're students. It's not changing. And so this leads kids to the conclusion, that when the light hits the material, the energy is absorbed, and it's that absorption of energy that causes a change. Cool. That means that, and here's a piece of student work, that the energy from the sunlight is being absorbed into our cells and our genetic material, and that absorption is causing the damage. It's a good first step of learning for eighth graders. But now we have another question. Does all light cause skin cancer? Do these fluorescent lights cause skin cancer? Lights, you know, are technically what we use when we use a microwave as light. Does that cause skin cancer? Important questions, right? So this is where you all get to be the students. Oh, are you excited?
Yes.
Okay, great. So we are going to be going into the same simulation that the kids go into. And if you got logged out, we'll get you logged back in. And so what you should see, can I escape this? Is you should see something that looks like this on your screen. And if you don't have one, I will get you one. Okay, I got you. The first thing you're going to do is what kids always do, which is you are going to just explore this.
Well, we have.
Oh,
it's just not.
You have to log in.
You have to get logged in.
They got logged in.
We'll get you logged in. They'll get you logged in. Thank you.
We log in the
yes. So you're going to just explore it first to see what tools are available to you and what can you manipulate. You don't need to answer any big question yet. But just what tools are available to you and what can you manipulate? And we'll take 2 or 3 minutes just for the exploration. What questions do you have?
Do these move?
Oh, okay. You should have a partner. We should be paired. Every fourth member should have a senior leadership team member. So let's take 2 minutes and explore.
Oh, wow. Thanks.
Protein.
Yeah, yeah. Sure. I also get
it.
What play around and see the difference.
Explore what can we grab. You want to do some dragging? Okay.
Yeah. I think you have to keep that finger down.
I have that play. And then you use another finger. You can drag. So I'm clicking and holding down.
Learning. Nothing, but I mean, I can move stuff around and create stuff, but I don't know what else.
Start figuring out what the patterns of the light are telling you. But what does that mean? The amplified?
You can get results. There it is. That one.
Right now, you're just.
So it's changing language.
You've changed. Okay, so. You have figured out what
I'm manipulating.
Yeah, you can
click on the track.
Yeah, you can. here.
Working groups, so I was like, I'm so excited about this.
I got you.
Demo. Many of us are happening. Yes. You light up to delegation.
Try to see what happens if you change it.
Here?
Before this one, it looks like this is breaking. Before it was breaking.
Nothing happens. It absorbs it.
And then
Image. From light for the glasses.
And did you notice the top of the top?
No, we didn't do the
Not showing the energy. There we go. Now we got it.
All right. If everyone could just bring it in for a second. You're not done. Don't worry.
You're not done.
So,
it was just a woman in the suit. People getting damaged.
I love this. Okay, I want you to imagine this is how excited like we are, how 13-year-olds feel about this, right? So you've had an opportunity to explore. I'm like stepping out of the teacher role for a second. It's like here's like the meta. We always have an opportunity to explore first, so kids can one be engaged, but also start to recognize how they can manipulate things and patterns. And after we explore, we come back together to do what we're about to do. I'm about to put my teacher hat back on and say, what did you notice that we can do in this simulation? Not like, what's the answer at this point, but like, what did you notice that you can manipulate? Where can you get information from? What are the features? And we're going to name those features, because in just a second, you're going to do a more formal investigation. So you'll need to know what those features are. So what did you notice? Please feel free to call them out.
You can change the type of light.
You can change the type of light. Amazing. And you can do that by clicking on this menu across. And in the investigation we're about to do, you are going to need to use a laser. So bookmark that in your brain that you can change this menu. And when you do, you can drag the little, drag the little slider. And I'm seeing that under the word laser, the word changes to tell me what type of light it is. So we can do that. I've got mine set right now on gamma rays, because why not? What else did you notice you could do?
You changed the type of materials.
Okay. I can click and drag materials on. In what we're about to do, the material we care about will be genetic materials. You will want that on your platform. What else did you notice?
We can see how some materials impact the effect on other materials.
You can do that by driving multiple materials. You absolutely can. Now, how did you know what the effect was? What did you click on to...
Once you drag it there and turn the beam on, there's a little inspect icon, and if you click on inspect, it shows you before what the effect was, and then with the current configuration, what it looks like now.
Amazing. There we go. I clicked on this little inspect, and it's telling me what is happening. Did you notice anything else? There's a toggle that's going to be really, really important.
English and Spanish.
Yeah.
Show energy.
If you've got show energy up at the top, you're going to want that toggle on. Okay. So thank you for your exploration and sharing all those features. We are going to jump back to your instruction. So here is your mission. You are going to put genetic material on a platform. Most of you already have it. You're going to turn on the laser, and you are going to check. Remember, we're asking what type of light causes skin cancer. You are going to check 5 different types of lights: ultraviolet light, any color of visible light you want, infrared light, microwaves, and radio waves. You'll do that by dragging that slider back and forth underneath the laser and using the inspect button to see if there was damage. You have a place. May I steal this drone? Sure. Thank you. To record, these are your types of lights. And this is the change. Maybe no change happens. Maybe damage happens. Maybe something else happens.
Yeah.
5 boxes for your 5 types of light. 5 different effects. So we're going to take a couple of minutes for you to do that with your partner. And at the end of that time, you should be able to say to me, these are the types of light that cause damage to genetic material. What questions do you have? I already see 3 pairs starting, so let's go ahead.
Ready? We're going to do UV light.
We did infrared.
Damage.
Yikes. Increases.
Oh, you turn it around.
Okay, so now.
That'll work.
Okay. And then we can move it around to see where it works.
For ultraviolet, infrared, microwave, and radio. Oh, and you don't have to memorize that there, right? Yeah. Up on the side. Perfect.
They're all here.
They're all there.
Not
up there. Good to notice.
Pick a color.
Hey, yellow's not. That's who we are.
What color?
Some groups have taken it up on themselves to look at X-rays and gamma rays. Feel free.
Wasn't that big connection between math and science?
Oh, they should put lead as one of the.
I think most of us have investigated most types of lights, right? And as I was walking around, I saw three different types of lights that you all found that caused damage. So let's call them out. What did we see that caused damage?
UV.
UV light. What else?
Gamma.
Gamma rays. What else? X-rays. Okay, so we've got these three types of light that could cause skin cancer. So let's check out another piece of evidence. Waiting for the slide. There we go. So this image shows us how far particular types of light travel into Earth's atmosphere. Okay. Some types of light make it all the way to Earth's surface. Some types of light do not. So you just told me that gamma rays, X-rays, and UV rays all can cause damage to genetic material. Which of those types of light is most likely causing skin cancer?
UV.
I hear a lot of UV. Does anybody want to say why?
Because the others aren't making it to the surface.
Beautiful. Yeah, they aren't making it to the surface. We were really a class of eighth graders, I would say. Everybody's trying to talk to your partner for 30 seconds. Okay. So then we go back. And now we're going to kind of step out of being students for a minute. Do you want to know how this mystery is solved?
Yes.
Do you want to know the answer?
Yes.
Okay. Step back from being students. So we go back to our claims, right? Australia gets a lot of sunlight. There's something different about the sunlight in Australia. More people have skin that can be easily damaged. And we look at these claims knowing UV light causes damage to genetic material, which causes skin cancer. And we look at three pieces of evidence. These are supposed to fly in and it's going to be slow. Here we go. So first we look at this world sunlight map to ask ourselves, does Australia actually get more sunlight than other places?
No. I mean, some, but not where South America is all there, Africa.
Okay. I like the yes, but no, right? Yes, more than some places, but like, no, not compared. Like, it doesn't get more than Brazil, and it has this higher rate than Brazil, right? So hold that Brazil thought for a second. And so then the next question he asks, like, is there something different about the sunlight in Australia compared to Brazil?
It's like a lot more UV.
I'm hearing a lot more UV, right? So possibly that claim is accurate. Then here is some information about the percentage of populations with different melanin levels in Australia. I see some people going on like, and I totally knew it. Okay. What is this melanin level graph telling us?
People that are more sensitive to UV damage.
Mm-hmm. More people?
Yeah.
Sensitive to UV damage in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
So what we have now from our data is we have like, yes, there's differences in sunlight. There's more UV light, question mark, why? There are more people whose skin is easily damaged. You know, last year we adopted anti-racist standards in KIPP SoCal. So this is a really good moment in science class to stop and talk about like the historical connections on the impact of colonialism. Like we would go there right now. Why are there more people with this lighter skin and less melanin in Australia?
It's like a joke on them, like, you know, they colonized and now they're paying the price, kind of.
So kids, they're like, okay, yes, melanin, got it. But then they ask, well, like, why is there more UV light in Australia? We all probably know because I'm looking around the room and I was alive in the 80s. Well, probably weren't also alive in the 80s, maybe most of you. So we know, but for kids, where this goes next is, again, through more investigation, they learn about reflection and transmission, that when light is reflected, no energy is absorbed, and when light is transmitted, no energy is absorbed, so nothing changes. And the reason that that is important, it's because there are different molecules in our atmosphere. Ozone absorbs the energy, while hearing acting carbon dioxide either reflect or transmit the energy. And so the conclusion that kids end up coming to, and here's a piece of student work, is that in Australia, there's less ozone, right? Someone said at the beginning, that hole in the ozone layer that we all got the don't use aerosols, right, in the 80s. That hole in the ozone layer means there's less ozone. And because there's less ozone, more UV light reaches the surface. Mm-hmm. And it's reaching the surface in a place where there are people whose skin is more easily damaged by the sunlight. That is what kids would end up explaining at the end of the show. Having heard a little bit and then also gotten to be a student for a chunk of time there, what have you learned about students in KIPP SoCal's experience with science? Why don't we take a second to chat with your partner just about what your big takeaways were, and then we'll share as a group.
Yeah, you just be memorized like that. Like you'd be like reading about it. Like yeah, we just be memorizing it.
Right.
You'd be reading other people.
But it didn't really look like that. I used to have a chat from her. And you think you're really smart. She's really good at that. Yeah. I mean, that was her view.
That was eighth grade.
It's like, oh,
let's get back together.
Okay, I love that that's the first takeaway. This is really cool. Did anyone have any big takeaways that you wanted to share with the group? Apparently not.
No.
Volunteering person always.
The shy one.
We were just saying how when we were in school, you know, decades ago, like, the way you would have learned this would have been you get a textbook and you read about it. And I mean, for most kids, it probably would have been super boring. Whereas, you know, this is something I think that would be really hard in a lab or something to recreate, but like with these tools, you can, and they can try different things out and see what doesn't work, which you don't get in a book, and come to a conclusion. And it seems like they would learn the information much more than just being presented with a unit in a book.
I'd say technology is way more fun than when I was in.
Yeah.
Technology.
I was just in class playing NFL football.
What I loved about it is, like, it was very practical and relatable because it was an issue of our times. I remember those big textbooks and the chalkboard because we used to have chalkboards, right? Yeah. And you couldn't take that home or understand it because it was something so far from you. But this is like, and there's proof. Now the kids say, oh my God, I do need to wear sunscreen, or yes, I need to. So it's relatable and it has an immediate impact in their lives and their families. So it just makes it more interesting.
You know what? I think it goes beyond the subject matter, though. It's as we were discussing the way you learn to think and analyze in this framework that we weren't being taught. We were asked to memorize. Yeah, right? We were given a couple paragraphs, and I would be able to give you the answer on the test, but I wouldn't have gotten to the answer through this process that is helping develop skills that are even more important than whatever the answer is to the question.
With STEM, and especially in certain socioeconomic communities, the first thing that I thought about, it demystifies science.
Yes.
And that is probably the most, growing up, that was probably the most intimidating thing to me. Thinking, oh, do I have to take physics, like chemistry? That's too difficult. I want to do this. It makes you a little bit more familiar with, all right, you know what? I understand it now. I think maybe this is something that I can become familiar with, that maybe I can pursue at some point. So it's that demystification of the subject matter that I, for me at least, that makes it a little bit easier for kids to kind of start absorbing and manipulating.
Science is no longer just a body of facts that somebody else decided once upon a time. Science is a process, and I can learn to wield that process and direct it at the things that interest me.
Julie said that if he had been her teacher, he would have liked science a lot more.
Thank you. I'm sorry you didn't have that. Okay, I'm sure that we're over time because science is so fun. But before I step away, is there anything that you had a question about or that you'd like to learn about Kipso Cal Science?
For another day, cell phones and the effect of cell phones.
Put it on the list. Thank you. All right. Thank you so much for having me. I hope you have a good rest of the day. Yep. Well,
school's not over yet, everybody. but Emily's just been fantastic, and it's just so fun. And imagine her teaching teachers how to teach this, brand new teachers. So we're just lucky to have Emily as part of our team. So we're glad that you got to experience. Like, we want you as board members to know, like, what makes KIPP special and unique to them. When you go out and you talk about KIPP, you can say, let me tell you about the science lessons that I engaged in and how science is approached. And so it's, you know, to be champion for us as well, to be able to explain our program. But because, you know, we also need to run an organization and this is not as fun as science, we're going to transition into compliance updates and voting items. So hand it back over to
you. With science?
I wish.
You know what?
And we're so easy to keep us moving forward.
All right. Beautiful. So another exciting topic, compliance updates and voting items. So our next speaker is Ivana.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's give her a round.
It's amazing.
Do you want the clicker? Or
you can just send it to her. It's just like the
Good afternoon, board members. My name is Ivana Castro, and I am the Authorizer Relations Manager on the Public Affairs team And today I will be providing an overview of our LAUSD authorized school performance in the 22-23 oversight cycle. So every year, LAUSD conducts annual in-person oversight visits at our schools. It's LAUSD's way of making sure that our schools are complying with applicable laws and their charter terms. Following its oversight visits, LAUSD issues an oversight report for each of our schools. And as I understand it, our chief of staff, Colin Sanchez, has made the full oversight reports available to you all in the board packet. LAUSD scores each school on a 1-4 scale in the following categories: governance, student achievement, organizational management, and fiscal operations. A score of 1 denotes unsatisfactory, and as you can see, none of our schools receive that score, so that's great. A rating score of 2 denotes developing. A score of 3 denotes proficient, and 4 signifies accomplished. So this slide provides an overview of the oversight scores. Every school received a 4 in governance, the highest possible rating. However, one concern that LAUSD raised is the frequency of general board meetings. Authorizer Relations responded to LAUSD by noting that many other charter management organizations hold board meetings at a similar frequency as could SoCal. All the same, as a measure of good faith, we wanted to relay LAUSD's concern to this board.
Can I just ask a question to Angela?
Yeah.
What? Like, how many more meetings would they want us to have?
As many as they have, or more. Yeah.
They need it.
Yeah.
How often do they meet?
Weekly.
So LAUSD has a tendency to compare this board to the school district board, so that's a very common piece of feedback we get, not just from LAUSD, and When I have an update on our other authorizers' reports, you'll also hear a similar concern from LA County Office of Education.
Was that just guidance that they give us?
Yeah, something they give for mediator.
No, it's just something they tended to bring up this year at every school.
Like every one of those meetings that comes up.
And then the student achievement category was scored according to the school's performance on the California School Dashboard. More specifically, LAUSD is reviewing our school's performance on academic indicators from the 21-22 school year. So I want to emphasize that these student achievement ratings are looking backwards to students' first year back to in-person learning. Most schools received a rating of 3 proficient. However, we saw a higher frequency of 2 in student achievement than in years past, which is attributable to schools' ongoing recovery from the pandemic and why the call to go all in on academics couldn't be more urgent. We are happy to report that most of our schools received 3 or 4 in the organizational management category. The board will notice that only one school received a 2 in organizational management because 2 of the school's in-house substitute teachers covered vacant positions for longer than 60 weeks. Moving over to the fiscal operations category, all of our schools received high marks. The board will notice that LAUSD issued scores of 3 to 9 to SoCal schools. These ratings were the result of an independent audit that identified areas of non-compliance in their implementation of independent study in the 21-22 school year. Additionally, I want to highlight that LAUSD automatically gives newly opened schools a rating of 2 in fiscal operations. Since the 22-23 school year was Skip Generation's first year of operations, they automatically received it. That's all on my end. And I'll open it up to any questions or comments.
Does anything concern you about these ratings?
No. I think it's the governance piece, like they keep giving us 4s, but then they have some suggestions, and we're like, okay, but 4 is exemplary. I think what's hard is that for the Corazon score, it's like one teacher out of the entire school, and it was a substitute
that taught more than 60 days. It's like these little tiny nitpicky things that automatically, if it's one teacher that taught 61 days, you're automatically getting two. So that's a little frustrating for us on that end. But, you know, the scores here were predictable, and we've consistently had really strong performance ratings from the district. So. And Ivana is great. She is so organized and thorough with everything. And so I think charter school division often tells us, like, KIPP is the exemplary in terms of materials, quality of submissions, timeliness of submissions, all of those sorts of things. So
does LAUSD rate itself?
No.
That's such a good question.
That would make way too much sense.
We've suggested that it would be, you know, a good idea maybe if they looked at all of these sorts of things. You have to remember that it's one LEA, the district, so like a governance score for them will be like one governance score. But we meet frequently with board members, the LUSD board members, and we've made suggestions, and some of the board members are open, like, you know, we should take a look at like how we rate charters with our own schools in the neighborhood. And I said, yeah, that's a great idea. We will be doing that work for you also when we submit reports so that they're well aware, but encourage them to do the same on their reflections.
Well, I think the compelling section would be student achievement.
Yeah.
Because that's what we get dinged on, supposedly. But I can understand governance, and some of the other things vary because it's one LEA. But with regards to comparing the schools in our area, with regards to using the same criteria for student achievement, why can't that be done?
I mean, it can. It's just the will.
Right.
Thank you, Donna.
Thank you, Mike.
For the next thing?
Yep.
Oh, the clicker. Who's got the clicker? Oh, they're passing it.
Sorry.
All right, so coming up is Curtis.
Good afternoon, board members. My name is Curtis Watley. I'm a policy and authorizer relations director here at KIPP SoCal. I'm here today to ask the board to formally approve KIPP Scholar Academy's move to 6100 South Hoover Street. I know Scholar's move is not news to anyone in this room. What is new are the procedures for non-material amendments to every school's charter, such as facility changes to nearby locations like the one that Scholar is on the verge of making currently. In the past, when a school like Scholar moved to a new nearby facility, the Los Angeles Unified School District only required KIPP SoCal to submit a change of contact information form and a certificate of occupancy or its equivalent. This August, however, LAUSD informed KIPP SoCal that such facility changes will now require the school to submit a signed governing board resolution approving the facility change, as well as the governing board meeting agenda and draft minutes. So we're asking for the board's approval of this resolution to provide straightforward evidence of the board's approval of Scholar's move to Hoover Street, even though I know this board has probably discussed that many times before. As an aside, the district will also require KIPP SoCal to submit a letter to the director of LAUSD's Charter Schools Division explaining the reason for the move, revised budget and cash flow for the remainder of Scholar's charter term, and a certificate of occupancy or equivalent document. The authorizer relations team will be working with our colleagues here at the regional office to deliver those documents as well. Thank you. That's it.
Are there any questions, first of all? Comments? Okay. Do we have a motion?
Motion.
Randy moves. Second?
I'll second.
Other seconds? Belen?
Randy?
Yes.
Carlos?
Yes.
Randy?
Yes.
Mel?
Yes.
Phil?
Yes.
Heather?
Yes.
Julie?
Yes.
Norma?
Yes.
Luis?
Yes.
That's everyone.
We should pass it. Thank you, Curtis.
Thank you, Curtis. Okay. Next up is Dennis.
Okay, next up is Dennis for the next item.
Yay, Dennis! Joy, invest in everything you do.
Of course.
My name is Dennis Chow. I'm the director of finance. I'm here to share about the unaudited actual reports and ask the board for approval. So as part of our regular reporting to all of authorizers, we send periodic reports, interim reports about the school year. At this time of year, we're sending our unaudited actuals for school year 22-23, or fiscal year 22-23, for all of our schools to our four authorizers. But later time, once we have an audited report, we need some of these also. So at this time, I'm asking the board to approve the unaudited.
Do we have any questions on the motion? No questions? Do we have a first?
First.
Naeem, first? Second?
Second.
Okay. Mel, second. Belen?
Naeem?
Yes.
Carlos?
Yes.
Randy?
Yes.
Mel?
Yes.
Phil? Yes. Heather?
Yes.
Julie?
Yes.
Norma?
Yes.
Louise?
Yes.
Yeah, that's everyone.
Motion passed. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you. All right, really exciting.
All right.
Randy's co-presenting this year.
Okay. Well, let's welcome Cecily.
Get out the Chromebook, Cecily.
All right, everybody get their caffeine going. You need to do the caffeine stuff. You know, I try to make this as interesting as possible, but I have to go over every single word for it to count. So I can't add it too much. So here we go. All right, so brown egg frames. Come on, it's this occasion every year. Hey, our agenda here. What is the Brown Act and its purpose? Important stuff. Applicability of the Brown Act, consequences of not complying with the Brown Act, which is always serious, meeting requirements, notice requirements, and then permissible closed sessions, and then we're all good.
I think it's so exciting.
Okay. So what is the Brown Act and its purpose? The Ralph, so just in case you didn't know, is Ralph M. Brown Act, which is a California Government Code 54950, is an act of the California State Legislature, authored by Assemblymember Ralph M. Brown and passed in 1953, that guarantees the public's right to attend and participate in meetings of local legislative bodies. California's, of course, Sunshine Law for a local government based upon state policy that the people must be informed so they can keep control over their government. Important stuff there. Enacted in response to mounting public concerns over informal, undisclosed, chaotic, I guess, meetings held by local elected officials. Solely applies to California city and county government agencies, boards, and councils, which include, yes, charter schools now. The applicability of the Brown Act. Kemp Soquel's board must comply with the Brown Act. Charter schools are required to comply. Charter schools are public schools, so they are required to comply. SB 126, we all remember when this was enacted in 2019 and made effective January 1st, 2020. However, Kip Soquel, we've been following the Brown Act for some time, so we were prepared prior to SB 126. This is, of course, an LAUSD, a Compton Unified School District, LA County Office of Education, and San Diego Unified School District requirement. All are authorized. Consequences of not complying with the Brown Act. Violations can result in, yes, criminal penalties. Serious stuff. Misdemeanor up to 6 months in jail or a fine up to $1,000 or both. Costs and attorney's fees may be awarded to those who successfully challenge Brown Act violations. We don't want any of that. Board action can be ruled null and void. A major factor in assessing and approving new charters and renewals of existing charters. It causes also damage, of course, to the organization's reputation, which we don't want any of that. Meeting requirements. What is a meeting? When any congregation of a majority of the members of the body meet to hear, discuss, deliberate, or take action on any item of charter school business. Meeting requirements. The Brown Act applies to meetings of the board, of course, including formal and informal, and need not constitute an official meeting. All governing board meetings, not committee meetings, must be auto and or video recorded and posted on all KIPP SoCal websites, including each school's website. Board retreats, private dinners, workshops, etc., constitute a meeting. If a quorum of the board or any standing committee is invited or in attendance, and the meeting includes a discussion of the business within the jurisdiction of the board or the standing committee. Board committees. Nearly all committees must comply with the Brown Act, exception a committee that is advisory, not decision-making, composed of only board members, less than a quorum of the board, and must not be a standing committee. It existed to make routine and regular recommendations on a specific subject matter. A majority of the board can attend other bodies' public meetings, public conferences of general interest, purely social or ceremonial gatherings, so long, most importantly, as charter school business is not discussed. Okay, serial meetings is a series of private meetings by which a majority of the members of the board commit to a decision or engage in collective deliberation concerning charter school business violates the Brown Act's open meeting requirement. You limit on one-way communications. While an employee or official may engage in separate conversations or communications with other members of the board in order to answer questions or provide information regarding a matter of charter school business, that person may not communicate to members of the board the comments or position of any other member or members of the board. Okay, technology may result in meetings at times you might not expect. Distribution to majority of the board, standing committee, and the subject matter is within the jurisdiction of the board or committee. That includes emails, including reply to and forwarding emails, text messages, social media, including comments, retweets, or even likes. Website postings. It's true in there. People are looking. Website postings, online forums, telephone calls, faxes, even faxes. Unilateral written communication to members of the board, such as agendas and informational or advisory communications, do not violate the Brown Act. The location of governing board meeting requirements. We all know about this one. Just as obviously a reminder that now that we are no longer, Governor Newsom has relieved the emergency declaration that was done during, obviously, the height of the COVID pandemic is now expired as of February 28, 2023. We have to be in person. So for a governing body of an entity that manages two or more charter schools, which KIPP SoCal obviously does, that are not located in the same county, the governing body of the entity managing the charter schools shall meet within the physical boundaries of the county in which the greatest number of pupils are enrolled, and those charter schools managed by that entity reside. And obviously that's Los Angeles County. a two-way teleconference location shall be established at each school site and each resource center. The governing body of the entity managing the charter school shall audio record, video record, or both all the governing board meetings, as is being done today, and post the recordings on each charter school's website. Will be done after. Okay, teleconference rules. These are the standard teleconference rules that have been in place for quite a long time. When a board member cannot attend in person, the agenda must be posted at all teleconference locations. Each teleconference location must be identified in the notice and agenda of the meeting. All votes during the meeting must be taken by roll call. All teleconference locations must be accessible to the public, including ADA compliance and no identification required. Members of the public must be able to hear and address the board directly from all teleconference locations. A quorum of the board must be physically present within KIPSOCAL's jurisdiction in accordance of California Education Code 47604.1, which of course is LA County. Okay, new update as of this year. Teleconferencing rules for board members with just cause or an emergency. This came out of Assembly Bill 2449, which created these new rules that will be in effect until, I believe, 2026. When an individual charter school board member has just cause or an emergency, they can participate in the meeting remotely without adhering to the standard teleconference rules. It allows teleconferencing without any obligation to identify the teleconferencing location on the agenda, allow public access to the teleconferencing location. Just cause, what are they talking about? Just cause is defined as a child care or caregiving need of a child, parent, grandparent, grandchild, sibling, spouse, or domestic partner that requires the member to participate remotely. A contagious illness that prevents a member from attending in person. A need related to a physical or mental disability as defined. See, you can see me and all that. But see, it is an addendum of all those definitions. And not otherwise accommodated through reasonable accommodations provided consistent with the Americans with Disabilities Act. Travel while on official business of the board or another state or local agency. And what is defined as an emergency? A physical or family medical emergency that prevents a member from attending in person. The just cause and emergency options for emergency just cause video conference meetings can only be used on a limited basis. No more than twice in a calendar year based on our number of board meetings. The board member shall make a request to participate remotely as soon as possible. This requires board approval or acknowledgement during the meeting. In order to be used, at least a quorum of the board must be in person in a singular location within the charter school's jurisdiction. Additionally, emergency just cause video conference meetings also require a quorum of the board must attend the meeting in person from a singular location. The charter school must make available and publish a link for the public to access the meeting virtually, audio, visual, which must be on the meeting agenda. And the member participating by emergency just cause video conference must announce the presence of any adults in the room where they are doing the video conference and the general nature of the board member's relationship with any such individuals. Okay. Executive compensation is approval of the chief executive officer's compensation must occur at a regular board meeting, not a special meeting. Government Code 54953, prior to final action, the board must orally report a summary of the recommendation for final action, including the salary, salary schedule, and fringe benefits during the open meeting where final action will be taken. Final action must be in open session. Okay, notice and agendas. The agenda shall be posted properly in advance of the meeting and must include a brief description of items to be transacted or discussed. With a few exceptions, if an item is not on the agenda, the board cannot discuss it. Contents of the agenda are a brief description of each item, usually no more than 20 words. Safe, what we call safe harbor language for a closed session, meaning the reason for the valid legal reason for the closed session has to be listed. How to request disability-related accommodation and location for inspection of documents distributed to the board. When do we have to provide notice? Regular meetings is 72-hour notice, special meetings 24-hour notice, emergency meetings 1 hour notice, which is extremely rare. Where to post? Physically at a public accessible location within a jurisdiction during the entire posting period, at all teleconference locations, and on the main KIPP SoCal website and all school websites specifically on the homepage. Exception, placing items on the agenda in an emergency. Upon determination by a majority vote of the board that an emergency situation exists, which is in compliance with California Education Code 54956.5. Upon determination by 2/3 of the vote of the board or unanimous vote of those present, if less than 2/3 of the members are present, that there is a need to take immediate action, and the need for action came to the attention of KIPP SoCal after the agenda was posted. Okay, permissible closed session, the safe harbor language as I talked about. These are the only options for closed session, which is conference with legal counsel, pending, which could be in relation to pending or anticipated litigation, student discipline, based on the specific education code, particularly usually during in regards to an expulsion. Personnel appointment, employment, evaluation, discipline, dismissal. Caveat, 24-hour written notice to employees required if the board will hear complaints and or changes. Real estate negotiations, labor negotiations, and public security. What are the requirements? Must be listed on the agenda, like I said, with the safe harbor language in accordance with California Government Code 54954.5. Prior to the closed session, the board must take a public announcement of reasons for closed session prior to closed session. The public must have an opportunity to comment. After closed session, board must make a public report of action taken in closed session and vote or having a vote or an abstention of every board member. Confidentiality is required. Only allow attendance of individuals who have a need to be in closed session discussing the item. We're done. Yay. Any questions?
Yay.
Everybody's like, just go sit down. Horrible. If you have a question, please. Reach out at any time. We're here to help.
Thank you, Cecily. Okay, thank you again, Cecily. Appreciate it. Also, as part of our annual board meeting, setting of our board member goals for the year. So next up, we'll talk about what we did last year and what we need to accomplish and improve on it. So
this is board member evaluation, basically. How did you all do on the goals that we set as a review? All right. We had three areas: meeting attendance, engagement opportunities, and giving. The strength here is that 100% of board members participated in giving to the organization. And where we are going to improve for next year is our attendance and our engagement opportunities. So you can see that each board member has a different denominator if you're on a committee, right? But at the end of the day, we want for whatever committee you're on and the full board meetings to attend at least 80% of the meeting. So we're just at 69%.
For engagement opportunities, we had two kind of broken out into two pieces, visiting the school during a school day, and then other engagement opportunities such as Tip Star, or ribbon cutting, et cetera. We were setting up visits at the end of the year when Tiffany Markarian was still here when she left. We just didn't have the opportunity to get that on the board. We're making some adjustments. And then, you know, we missed our goal, 54% of our board attending three other engagement opportunities. So we're going to do better this year. I know all of you are invested in that. Our goals for next year, let me back up because, you know, we have to like reward and incentivize. So just like we're improving attendance at our schools, we do give attendance awards. I wouldn't be Principal Martinez without making sure that I reward those and give awards to the board members that met the 80% goal. So Naive, you'll be getting a certificate. Randy, who has the best attendance. Mel, you'll be getting a certificate. Heather, you'll be getting a certificate. Julie, you'll be getting your certificate. And Phil, you'll be getting your certificate. You'll be getting your certificate. See how much of the energy for like just the positive. Yeah, right. So for next year, our goal will be similar, though we refine the middle one. Just kidding, you are going to get your individual status. So again, we'll have the same goal. Let's try and hit that 80, meet or exceed the 80% target for the meeting attendance. I know the shift back from the pandemic has been an adjustment, but in-person attendance is really important for us. The engagement opportunities, we combined that this school visit with the engagement opportunity so that we would like for everyone to engage at least three opportunities, and one of those could be a visit to a school day. So we'll be setting up selected dates and times where board members can sign up to come and attend. And for our Brown Act training, you know, there'll only be certain slots available to make sure we don't have a quorum visiting a school. And then for giving, we'll continue with our goal of 100% of board members participate in Giving Tuesday. Do these goals sound achievable?
Yes.
Great. Then I would love to give out 100% certificates next year for all these indicators. Fantastic. And with that, our next steps is that you will receive an individualized email with your goal status. So you'll know your specific percentage of attendance, et cetera. We'll reshare the board meeting calendar link. And so, you know, we have a user-friendly Google calendar now for all of the board meetings and also events that are coming up for KIPP SoCal, such as our KIPP-tastic event, which will be on October 13th. I should have had you say it. which is our big event for all our team members at BMO Stadium, where we celebrate a start of the school year. So much fun. Our governance committee will continue to monitor throughout the year. And then we'll be following up with the 2 to 3 options to come visit the school during the school day. Did I miss anything, Glenn?
Nope, you got it.
Board on Track. Remember, that's where you get all of your materials. We can look and see who is logged in and who has downloaded their items. So just so that you know that. I might be giving awards for that preparation. Really feeling my old school leader roots lately.
All joking aside, yep. I think this is extraordinarily important. And a big thank you for making this easy and organized so we can all be helpful.
Okay, so I'm going to hand it over to Joanna, who will round us out until we go into closed session.
Yes, and I just want to say that this is a way for me to help all of you, because you just got one of your goals, Giving on Giving Tuesday, so boom, right here. Here's your opportunity to learn more, start meeting those goals to get your certificate for next year. So Giving Tuesday is happening on November 28th. We met our goal last year, which was really exciting. So we decided to up it a little bit this year and do a little better. So our goal for this year is $185,000. And we would love for a second year in a row to have 100% participation from both our board and also our associates board. So that's will be coming up soon. And we are also working on pulling up some lists to reach out to people who have donated in the past, who might not have donated in the last couple of years, and also doing some research to try to engage some new donors during this time. So we would love for you to pledge your gift, and even better to do so as a challenge match, especially if your company or you know, any of your friends want to chime in. We'll be sharing emails that you can use to send out to your networks if you want to encourage some of your friends to get involved. And we will share those with you. Is it the 28th or the 29th? Sorry, I see that we have two different days here. Joseph?
28th.
Okay, so sorry, I didn't change up there. And this is Joseph from our development team back here. I want to make sure everyone knows him. Joseph has been working hard on setting up Giving Tuesday for this year. So we'll be providing you with a bunch of materials. We're excited to meet our new higher goal this year. And now I will take any questions, suggestions, or feedback that anyone has. All right, great. So we will reach out to you soon about Giving Tuesday. Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. It's time for closed session. There we go. So for board members, we're going to be heading into closed session. We're going to head into this room. So there's name tags. We're sitting this time because there's a lot of content to cover. So if you want to grab a snack before we head in there, this is the time to grab a snack. And we'll start in about 5 minutes.
I am, but I feel like
you are punished now.
For those who are on the line, including our interpreters, you're welcome to hop off. The board has stepped into closed session, and we'll be in there for a little bit. So you're welcome to log off. Thank you so much.
recording now?
Yes.
Okay, we're back in open session. We just had a meeting to discuss evaluation and compensation for our CEO. It was so well. Let me turn it over to Heather so she can give us the details of how we got there.
Excellent. I'm happy to. So the governance committee met earlier this month, and then we just had a robust discussion on Angela's performance this year. We reflected on the results, the 360 feedback, self-assessment, as well as compensation trajectory and benchmarks. After discussion, we landed on a recommendation and approved increasing Angela's salary by 5%, bringing her annual salary from $335,000 to $351,750. This recognizes her outstanding contributions this past year.
Thank you. Standard benefits package. You need to talk about the benefits. If you can name the benefits piece as well.
It's the
standard
benefits package that she had from last year. Continue on to this year as well.
Perfect. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Do we have any questions, comments? No, we don't. All right. We are adjourning at 3:50.
Ooh, okay. 10 minutes early.
All right. Good, everybody.